Well, it's 9:02, so I think we'll go ahead and get started. Shall we pray? Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful opportunity to come into your house, a house of worship, a house of prayer, a house where you promised if two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst of us. So we just ask for your wisdom, your strength, your peace, and just teach us what you would have us to learn. In your name and according to your will, amen. Well, for the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing with admonish one another, and especially after Pastor Cook's message on a loving rebuke, I think we've pretty well got that one covered. So let's go and move on to a slightly more pleasant subject, serving one another. Now, the word serve shows up 193 times in the Bible, and another 80 times for derivatives such as served. I think this shows that serving one another should be a much higher priority than admonishing one another. So, barring the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, I think there is no better example of serving one another than is found in John 13 with Christ's example of washing the feet of each of his apostles. Remember, this was considered to be the job of the household servant or slave, not the master of the house. They didn't do such menial labor. So consider Jesus' words. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. That's Mark 9. A little bit later in Mark 10, Jesus expands on this. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, lest anyone should think, although I know no one here would think this, but lest anyone should think this passage means the minister should be the greatest in the church, because it's literally, whoever will be great among you shall be your minister. This passage, the Greek word for minister is diakonos, which means waiter or servant. Some would go so far as to say doulos or slave. This is the same word to describe the first deacons in the church. Remember, Jesus said these words right after the apostles had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. So although I don't think there can be a better example of the kind of service we are supposed to demonstrate to our Christian brothers and sisters and to the world at large, the lesson workbook has a very interesting story that apparently is true that I think helps illustrate this concept. During the American Revolution, a group of soldiers was repairing the defenses with no help from their screaming leader. A nearby writer in civilian clothes asked the officer why he would not help. The officer shot back, "Sir, I am a corporal." The stranger apologized, dismounted, and proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. Having done the job, he turned to the corporal and said, "Mr. Corporal, the next time you have a job like this and do not have enough men to do it, go to your commander-in-chief and I will come and help you again." The stranger was none other than George Washington. So I think that is a beautiful example of the kind of service we're supposed to demonstrate. So now that we've established the importance of service, let us answer several questions concerning that service. First, why do we serve? Initially, why do we serve God? Of course. And that is my favorite reason that the Bible gives why we would serve God. Now, in the Old Testament, one of the first mentions is, as the preacher has said, and by the preacher, I mean Solomon in Ecclesiastes, not our Pastor Cook, our local shepherd. For this is the whole duty of man. We were made to have fellowship with God and to serve him. That is our whole duty of man. As I said, I prefer the New Testament version just to give it that kind of depth that it deserves. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So we serve God by keeping his commandments, and we show his love by loving first the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and second, by loving our neighbor, our Christian brother and sister, like ourself. Of course, why wouldn't we want to serve him? These are just a few verses just showing why we should want to serve God. Psalms 100. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Very good news. The good news. The gospel message. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I hate to admit this, but I'm very greedy. I have pretty good imagination for things I'd like to have and stuff like that. I have to battle that all the time. But that we can't even begin to imagine have not entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. How magnificent, how wonderful heaven will be. And of course, the most wonderful thing is then we will see God face to face. No longer through a mirror darkly, but we will see God face to face. We will be like God. Not like the serpent said in the Garden of Eden to appeal to our pride or anything, but literally to have that kind of fellowship with God that he has intended for us from the very, very beginning. Continuing on with just a few more. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I mean, we blew it. We deserve hell. But God gave the ultimate price, himself, that we are not only saved from hell, but we are saved for hell. Heaven. It didn't just end at the cross and the burial and the resurrection. He lives forevermore for us. Yes, Tony. Yeah. And it is interesting. I mean, I can't basically say factually that is because the passage before is basically we blew it, but God. But I do think that's usually the case. It's like we did this before. We deserved this kind of punishment before. But God, through mercy, through love, through compassion, through loving kindness, through long suffering, but God restores that fellowship. And what better way to say it than, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 4:8, or John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life, depending on which version you like. But yeah, as Brother Darrell was saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, meaning God? I mean, it's just mind-blowing that the God of the universe, and now they're saying the universe is somewhere between 93 and 100 billion years across, 100 billion light years across, which is basically, that's the biggest we can measure, and who knows how far beyond that. No one has said, oh, we found the edge. You know, in 1900 or so, they basically said that the universe is the Milky Way. We couldn't find any other galaxies in 1900, so we said the universe is 100,000 light years across. And now, barely 100 years later, we're saying it's 100 billion light years across. And who knows how big it really is. And one thing I've said, you know, before, just to show what is man, that thou art mindful of him, what's beyond the edge of the universe? We have no true concept for infinity. God has always existed. He is everywhere. Wow. It's just, again, that a God that awesome, that truly awesome, that mighty, has that kind of love that he would give himself for each of us individually like that. And then, again, that wasn't enough. He lives forevermore to have relationship with us. It started with pride with Satan. I will be like the Most High. Apparently that was his first sin. And then from there we know murder, lying, just to get started. So the father of all lies and a murderer from the beginning. So just to expound on that. Basically, it's been said, you know, in expounding, why do we love God? One, why wouldn't we love God? But two, why does God love us? What do we bring to God that's lovable? And then, why would we rebel against God? I mean, there's examples, examples, examples in the Old Testament, and we're not immune from that. Why would we rebel from God? And next week, I'll try to touch on that just a little bit. But this week, I'm trying to just emphasize how good God is and what a blessing it is to serve him and why we serve and such. So we've established why we serve God. So obviously, who do we serve? Well, God first and foremost. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And, of course, Joshua's great proclamation. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Paul's example. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Galatians. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And next week I hope to get into some very specifics about how we can serve one another. So, first, we serve God. Second, we serve our Christian brothers and sisters. And third, we serve everyone else. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So who do we not serve? And I'll just kind of do this briefly, but other gods. No, the Ten Commandments. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Now, of course, we look at ourselves and go, well, Well, nobody's got a little statue, graven image in their home that they bow down to or anything like that. I mean, we're going, how silly that anybody would do that. But you look at modern examples. I mean, I'm no expert in it, but I think in Japan, the main religion is ancestor worship. And then look at all the basically idols in other religions. Brother Files basically showed how prevalent Buddha. Although a little Jesus will get you by, I want to have a whole lot of Jesus myself. Be conformed into his image. And that includes his sufferings to truly know him. That part I'm a little hesitant about, but the Bible never mentions getting to know Jesus without going through suffering. You know, the refining fire, the purifying, the pruning, the take up your cross. So, now, taking a little farther, and I'm looking at myself, for instance. Maybe it's not actually serving other gods ahead of God. You know, we wouldn't actually take God off his throne. But what about robbing him of his first fruits? You know, what about, I've got to get all this done. And you understand that, God. I mean, I've got to, now I'm tired. And, you know, I really need some downtime. I can't just keep doing this. You understand that? Next thing you know, it's 10 at night. You haven't finished your Sunday school lesson. And you pray and say, okay, God, I've really blown it. I apologize. I need your wisdom. And then it's like, oh, that's how you want me to organize it. And I'm still up till midnight, and I'm not advocating this. I mean, I think that's leftovers, not first fruits. But God is merciful. And he's always willing to restore that fellowship if we're truly repentant. And I am very, very grateful for that, because I'm a very slow learner when it comes to that. So who else do we not serve? Well, sin. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Because ultimately, we are servants of God, or we are slaves of sin. Whether anybody realizes that, those are the choices. But it's so nice to think that even though we have been bought with a price, we are literally owned by God. He has given us the adoption of sons, whereby we may call Abba, Father. Wow. And who else do we not serve? Our own belly. We're basically thinking that we're serving ourselves. We're leaving God out of the picture, and I'll deal with that more next week. But for now, Romans 16:18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now it's interesting, and I've done this before, I didn't specifically for this, but good words does not mean good. It's not the Greek agathos for good of intrinsic value. It's basically, it sounds good. But anyway, as the pastor would say, that's just a freebie I threw in there. So how do we serve God? Well, back to the preacher again. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. A New Testament example. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. If any man serve me, let him follow me. As Jesus, you know, when he called his first apostles, I think all of them, follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. we serve God, and these are just several different passages, forgive me for just taking the little excerpts, but we serve God, as it says in Hebrews 12, with reverence and godly fear. In Romans 7, 6, it says we serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. God's Holy Spirit comes to live in us, to lead, guide, direct us, to call into remembrance God's words that we might not sin against Him and that we might know His will. We serve with the mind. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Or Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And transform literally means change from within. It's metamorphose, like a caterpillar becoming the butterfly. It isn't just a stamped image. It's a complete transformation from within. We serve God by giving thanks to God. We serve the Lord with gladness and before His presence with singing. Or, for everyone's benefit, make a joyful noise. So, we serve God by acknowledging that He is God. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Psalms 100. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Remember, Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I think, to answer Brother Darrell's question, only although very superficially, because who can know the mind of God, but I don't think angels can have faith. Because they live in His presence. Now, they don't have the mind of God. They don't know everything like God does. But I still think they are so close to God that there's no room for faith. They either choose to serve Him or they don't. And if they choose not to serve Him, there's no chance of repentance because there's no faith. But again, just a wild theory on my part. So, continuing with our Psalms 100 passage, we are to serve God by enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We are to be thankful unto Him, and we are to bless His name. Now, let's go on to the Ten Commandments. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I can't help but notice the similarity with Jesus' words in John 14, 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I never change. It's just so beautiful to see that in the scriptures. So continuing with that, I think this is what is meant in 1 John 2, 7 and 8, basically. In 1 John 2, 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. In verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you. Now, some people that are trying to be agnostic or atheistic or whatever would go, well, there's a clear contradiction in the Bible. But I think it actually, rather than a contradiction, it shows everything fits together. And I think it was a Jewish style to do that, to bring basically a form of their hyperbole. So, next week, I'll try to cover specific ways how we can serve our fellow Christians. I've been trying to emphasize how do we serve God, why, and just a little bit more like that. When do we serve? As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Galatians 6. We should always be looking for an opportunity to serve. I'm sure Philip didn't have any idea that he was going to leave what seemed like a very successful revival meeting in Samaria, and it's like, get out into the middle of the desert And then, of course, that's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch being led to Christ by Philip being obedient to the Spirit's calling. But from a logical standpoint, man's logic, you know, we'd go, you left a very successful revival just to go out for one person? Just God's ways are so much higher than our ways. So when do we serve God? And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That covers everything. Or I would say supernaturally. Because naturally, our nature is, our rebellious fallen nature is not to serve God. But supernaturally, with the power of His Spirit, our nature is, how can I know God better? How can I let Him draw me closer? How can I show His love deeper? And I think the rest we'll table for next week. I really have appreciated all the conversation, but I'm 2 minutes over, so I need to be respectful of that. Shall we pray? Or was there one more comment? I saw a hand, but maybe not. Precious Heavenly Father, thank You for the wonderful opportunity to serve You, Lord, to bring You praise and glory and honor, to fulfill our entire duty, our entire reason for being, to have fellowship with You, to share Your love with everyone around us, Lord, because Your love is never rationed, and there's always more and more and more to go around. No matter how much grace You extend to us, there is always grace upon grace. And thank You, Lord, that Your strength is made perfect in our weakness as we seek to serve You. Now be with Pastor Cook as he brings the message. Be with the choir as it brings a message and song. Show us how to truly worship You and be filled with Your Spirit and be light and salt to this world, Lord. In Your name and according to Your will, amen.